All right, folks, get ready to dive deep as we tackle a listener request about a book that promises to boost our financial IQ.
Oh, you mean Rich Dad's Increase Your Financial IQ by Robert Kiyosaki? Yeah, I can see why that title might spark some curiosity.
But a little skepticism too, right? I mean, can a book really make us smarter about money?
Well, that's the big question. But Kiyosaki actually takes a pretty interesting approach. He argues that a lot of the traditional financial advice we hear, you know, work hard, save money, get out of debt, it might have worked in the past.
But not so much anymore.
He says it's outdated, even harmful in today's economy. He claims the rules of money fundamentally changed back in the 70s.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. Why the 70s? What happened then that shifted things so dramatically?
Two major things, according to Kiyosaki. First, in 1971, the UN's dollar went off the gold standard.
Right, I remember learning about that in history class. But I'm not sure I fully grasped the implications.
Well, before 1971, the dollar was pegged to gold, meaning it had a fixed value. But once that link was broken, the dollar became a floating currency.
So instead of a solid foundation, it became more like a moving target.
Exactly. And this opened the door for inflation, which eats away at your savings over time.
Ouch. So that save your money advice doesn't seem as reliable anymore, huh?
Not as straightforward as it used to be. You need your money to grow faster than prices are rising, or you're essentially losing purchasing power.
Makes sense. So what was the second big shift in the 70s?
That was in 1974, with retirement plans. Before, most people had company pensions.
Yeah, those guaranteed payments for life after you retire.
Right. But those started disappearing, replaced by defined contribution plans like 401ks, where individuals are responsible for managing their own retirement savings.
So instead of the company taking care of you, the responsibility shifted to the individual.
Exactly. And suddenly, everyone's expected to be a savvy investor navigating this complex financial world.
Which is why Kiyosaki says financial IQ is more important than ever.
He compares it to sending someone out to sea without teaching them to sail. You're kind of left to figure it out on your own.
I like that analogy. So how does he propose we navigate these treacherous waters?
He introduces the concept of five financial intelligences. Think of them as building blocks for success.
Okay, I'm all ears. What's the first one?
Making more money. But it's not just about getting a raise. It's about shifting your mindset.
From working for money to having your money work for you.
Exactly. And this ties back to those changing rules of money. In an inflationary environment, you need your money to grow faster than inflation.
Otherwise, you're losing ground, even if you're earning a decent income. Okay, I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. What's the second financial intelligence?
It's protecting your money. Kiyosaki describes a financial world full of predators who want to take what you've earned.
Okay, now I'm imagining sharks circling my bank account. Who are these financial predators exactly?
Well, taxes are a big one. They're necessary, sure.
But it sounds like he thinks we need to be more strategic about how we approach them.
Exactly. He breaks down income into three categories: earned, portfolio, and passive.
Quick reminder for our listeners, could you define those?
Sure. Earned income is from your job. Portfolio income is from investments like stocks and bonds, and passive income is money generated from assets that require minimal effort.
Like rental properties, for example.
Exactly. And understanding how each type is taxed can help you make smarter choices about how you earn and invest.
So it's not just about how much you make, but how that income is structured. Interesting. What else should it be wary of?
Kiyosaki also calls out hidden fees. Especially those lurking in mutual funds and 401k plans.
So he's saying we need to read the fine print carefully and really understand what we're signing up for.
He doesn't want us to be blind sheep led to the slaughter, so to speak. He wants us to be informed consumers who advocate for our own best interests.
Makes sense. Okay, what's the third financial intelligence?
It's budgeting your money, with an emphasis on paying yourself first.
I've heard that phrase before, but to be honest, I'm not sure I fully grasp what it means.
It means treating your savings and investments like a non-negotiable expense, even before paying bills.
Interesting. So it's about prioritizing your future self, even when you have a lot of demands on your money right now.
Exactly. Kiyosaki shares a story about how he and his wife were once $4,000 short every month, but they forced themselves to save first, which forced them to find creative ways to increase their income.
Wow, that's a powerful example of how a shift in mindset can lead to real results. So what's the fourth financial intelligence on our list?
Leveraging your money. Now, this can be a bit more complex. It's about using other people's money, like through loans, to build wealth.
So he's not saying all debt is bad.
Right. He uses the example of buying a 300-unit apartment building with bank financing. He's essentially using the bank's money to acquire an asset that generates income and appreciates in value.
That's a pretty different approach to debt than what we usually hear. Okay, so what's the final piece of this financial intelligence puzzle?
Improving your financial information. It's about being able to sort through all the noise and find reliable sources of information in today's world.
That's a huge challenge. We're bombarded with financial news and advice from all directions. How do we even begin to sift through it all?
Kiyosaki emphasizes the importance of critical thinking, being able to separate fact from fiction, to spot trends, and to understand how the financial system actually works.
It sounds like he's saying we can't just blindly accept what we hear from so-called experts. We need to be able to think for ourselves.
Absolutely. He even shares a story about buying gold in Vietnam during the war to illustrate how crucial information is. Even investing in something like gold can be risky if you're working with bad information.
That's a great point. Okay, so we've covered these five financial intelligences. But there's another big idea from Kiyosaki that I think we need to address. He says that your house is not an asset.
Yes. That's definitely one of his more controversial claims.
It goes against everything we're usually told. Can you unpack that for us? Why does he say a house is a liability, not an asset?
He argues that a house primarily takes money out of your pocket. Mortgage payments, property taxes, maintenance, those are all expenses. A true asset, in his view, puts money into your pocket.
So a rental property that generates income would be an asset, but your primary residence, even if it increases in value, is more of a liability.
That's the distinction he makes. And he points to the 2007 housing market crash as a prime example. A lot of people saw their home values plummet, and they ended up owing more than their houses were worth.
That's a harsh lesson in the difference between what we perceive as assets and what actually behaves like an asset in the real world.
Exactly. He wants us to challenge those traditional definitions and think more critically about where our money is going.
Okay, so we've covered these five financial intelligences and had our assumptions about homeownership shaken up a bit. Where do we go from here? What does Kiyosaki suggest we do with all this new knowledge?
Well, he's a big advocate for action, not just reading or listening. He wants us to start applying these concepts in our lives, to experiment and learn from our experiences.
He seems to believe that traditional education doesn't really prepare us for the realities of the financial world.
He definitely criticizes the lack of financial education in schools. He argues that most people are left to figure things out on their own, often making costly mistakes along the way.
So he's advocating for a more proactive approach, for seeking out financial education outside of the traditional channels.
Exactly. He encourages people to explore alternative resources, like investment clubs, workshops, and even things like network marketing, to gain practical experience and knowledge.
It sounds like he believes that anyone can develop their financial intelligence, regardless of their background or education.
He truly does. He believes that everyone has a unique financial genius waiting to be discovered and developed.
That's a really empowering idea. It's not about fitting into a specific mold or having a certain IQ. It's about finding your own path to financial success.
And he shares his own personal story about how he felt stupid in school because his strengths didn't align with traditional measures of intelligence. He wants people to know that even those who might not excel in a traditional academic setting can still achieve financial success.
I think that's a really important message, especially for anyone who might feel intimidated by the world of finance.
He's giving us permission to believe in our own potential, even if our financial journey hasn't always been smooth sailing.
So how do we go about tapping into this financial genius? Where do we start?
That's where his concept of the three brains comes in. He talks about the left brain for logic, the right brain for creativity, and the subconscious, which he believes plays a massive role in our financial decisions.
That's a really intriguing idea. I'm eager to dive deeper into that and see how understanding those three brains can help us unlock our financial potential.
I think you'll find it fascinating. It's about understanding how our minds work, how our beliefs and emotions influence our choices, and how we can reprogram those patterns to support our financial goals.
It sounds as we're about to embark on a journey of self-discovery, as much as a deep dive into finance.
I think that's a great way to put it. It's about understanding ourselves as much as understanding the mechanics of money. And that's where the real transformation begins.
So we've got these five financial intelligences to guide us, but then there are all these financial predators lurking out there. Can you give us some real-world examples of what Kiyosaki's talking about?
Absolutely. He starts with something we all have to deal with, taxes. Now, he's not saying don't pay your taxes.
Right, that's not financial intelligence, that's tax evasion.
Exactly. But he does say we need to be smart about taxes, understand how they affect our income, and remember those different types of income earned, portfolio, passive.
Yeah, we talked about how they're taxed differently.
Right. Well, Kiyosaki argues that understanding those differences can help you make strategic decisions about how you structure your income. He points out that passive income, like from real estate, often has significant tax advantages.
So it's not just about how much money you make, but also about how you earn it.
Exactly. It's about being proactive and strategic, rather than just letting things happen by chance. But it's not just taxes we need to be aware of. Kiyosaki also warns against, well, those institutions we're often taught to trust, banks and brokers.
That's a bit unsettling. We're supposed to trust them with our money, right?
Well, Kiyosaki argues that sometimes their interests and yours don't align. He points to things like hidden fees in mutual funds, in 401k plans. Those little fees can add up over time and really eat into your returns.
So read the fine print. Ask questions. Don't just take their word for it.
That's the key. Become an informed consumer. Advocate for yourself. Don't be a passive bystander when it comes to your money.
I like that. So if we shouldn't just blindly trust banks and brokers, how do we find good financial advice? Who could we trust?
Kiyosaki suggests looking for someone who's more of a teacher than a salesperson. Someone who takes the time to really explain things.
Someone who answers your questions patiently and thoroughly.
Exactly. Someone who wants to educate you, not just sell you something. Kiyosaki even has a tip for finding that kind of advisor. He says, ask them, do you personally invest in the products you're recommending? If they don't, that might be a red flag.
Interesting. Okay, we've talked about taxes. We've talked about banks and brokers. Any other potential predators out there?
Kiyosaki talks about businesses, too. And I'm not talking about outright scams, but think about those store credit cards, for example. Those can trap you in a cycle of debt.
Those tempting offers with the high interest rates.
Yeah, those. Be careful with those. He even gets into an area that might surprise some people. He talks about relationships, specifically marriage.
Wow. Okay. How does that fit into the financial predator category?
Well, he's not against marriage, of course, but he stresses the importance of being on the same page financially.
He's a big advocate for prenuptial agreements, I know.
Right. Not because he's cynical about love. But because he thinks those agreements force couples to talk about money, to be transparent. He even suggests that couples might want to keep some financial independence, maybe maintain separate accounts. Again, not because he's against love, but
to protect yourself in case things go wrong.
Exactly, to be prepared.
So we've got taxes, banks, brokers, businesses, and relationships. Is there anything else we should be on the lookout for?
Kiyosaki goes so far as to talk about death as a potential financial predator.
Whoa, okay. That's a bit morbid. What does he mean by that?
He's really talking about estate planning, making sure your money is handled the way you want, even after you're gone, making sure it doesn't get eaten up by legal fees or taxes or end up in the wrong hands.
He used the example of that woman, what was her name? Leona Helmsley.
The hotel queen, yeah. She left millions to her dog.
Well, disinheriting some of her family members.
Right. Which, you know, whether you agree with her or not,
makes you think about the importance of planning ahead.
That's Kiyosaki's point, yeah, to be proactive.
So it sounds like there are a lot of potential financial pitfalls out there. It's a bit overwhelming, but it's good to know about these things.
That's why Kiyosaki talks about them. It's not to scare us, but to make us aware. And more importantly, to give us the tools to protect ourselves.
Right. It's not about living in fear. It's about becoming financially intelligent.
That's the key.
Okay, so we've talked about all these potential threats. Let's shift gears a bit and talk about practical steps for building our financial IQ. We've covered the five core intelligences, but how do we actually put those ideas into action?
Well, remember that third intelligence, budgeting your money.
The one with pay yourself first.
Right. That's a really important one. But Kiyosaki goes even further with that concept. He says, don't just cut your expenses to create a surplus.
Because that can only get you so far.
Exactly. He says, focus on increasing your income.
So it's not about deprivation. It's about abundance.
Exactly. Challenge those limiting beliefs. Explore new possibilities. Get creative.
Now, I know Kiyosaki has some unconventional views on investing. He doesn't believe in diversification, right?
He's not a fan of it, no. He thinks true wealth comes from focus, from control, not from spreading your investments too thinly.
Okay, so instead of putting your eggs in lots of different baskets.
He says pick one basket you really understand and focus on that.
That goes against a lot of traditional advice.
It does, but think about his real estate investments. He says he gains an advantage by deeply understanding a specific property.
Its potential for growth, its ability to generate income.
Right. He becomes an expert. He gains leverage.
So it's about specialization rather than diversification.
Exactly. But that brings us back to that fifth financial intelligence, improving your financial information. How do you become an expert if you're bombarded with so much information? How do you know what to trust?
That's a great question. I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Kiyosaki emphasizes critical thinking. Don't just blindly believe everything you hear. Question assumptions. Look for biases.
And remember, even something like gold can be risky if you have bad information.
Right. Always consider the source. What are their motives? Are they trying to educate you or sell you something?
So be an active learner, an engaged thinker. Don't just be a passive consumer of financial news and advice.
Kiyosaki also talks about understanding trends and cycles, both in the economy as a whole and in specific markets. He uses historical examples to show that markets go up and down.
It's like waves in the ocean.
Exactly. If you understand the rhythm of the waves,
you can learn to ride them.
That's the idea.
Okay, so we need to be informed. We need to be critical thinkers. What else?
Kiyosaki also talks about our own internal world, our beliefs, our emotions.
This is where that three brains concept comes in, right?
Exactly. He says the subconscious plays a huge role in our financial decisions.
It's like there's this hidden force shaping our choices without us even realizing it.
And that force can be working for us, or it can be working against us. He says a lot of people have subconscious beliefs about money that hold them back.
Beliefs about scarcity, maybe. Yeah. Or fear of failure.
Right. Those kinds of things.
So how do we address those subconscious beliefs? How do we reprogram our minds for financial success?
That's where those tools and exercises in the book come in. He gives you practical strategies for identifying and changing those limiting beliefs. He wants you to become aware of those subconscious patterns and actively reshape them.
It's like mental fitness training for your finances.
I like that. And he also talks about the power of who you surround yourself with.
That old saying, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Right. He says that applies to our financial lives, too. Surround yourself with people who are financially intelligent. Find mentors. Find role models.
Build a community of support.
Exactly. And join groups like Cash Flow Clubs, where you can learn and practice in a safe environment.
It's like finding your financial tribe.
I like that analogy. And Kiyosaki emphasizes that financial intelligence is not just about the numbers, it's also about personal growth.
It's about developing those people skills.
Right. He talks about interpersonal intelligence. That's your ability to connect with others and learn from them. And interpersonal intelligence, which is about understanding yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses.
So it's not just about crunching numbers. It's about becoming a well-rounded individual.
He wants you to be successful in all areas of your life.
I think that's a really important point. Financial intelligence isn't just about making money. It's about creating a life of abundance.
Exactly. A life where you have the freedom to pursue your passions, to make a difference, to live on your own terms.
Okay, so we've talked about building our financial intelligence, rewiring our subconscious beliefs, surrounding ourselves with the right people. What else can we do to set ourselves up for success? Okay, so we're building our financial IQ. We're tackling those limiting beliefs. But I'm curious, is there anything else we can do, like practically, to put all this into action?
Kiyosaki is a big believer in real-world experience, getting out there and, you know, trying things out. He actually suggests something that might surprise some people. Network marketing?
Network marketing. That's interesting. I think a lot of folks have, well, mixed feelings about that industry.
He gets that. He knows that has a bit of a controversial reputation, but he sees it as a way to develop some really important skills, sales, marketing, leadership, and all within a supportive community.
So it's like a low-stakes way to get your feet wet with entrepreneurship.
Yeah, exactly. Build a network, learn the ropes, maybe even make some mistakes along the way.
It's all part of the learning process, right?
Absolutely. He's all about taking action, experimenting, and learning from those experiences, both the good and the bad.
He also talks about working for both big companies and small businesses.
Right. He sees value in both. You can learn about systems and processes at a big company, but a smaller company might give you more hands-on experience.
And more diverse skills.
Exactly. It really depends on what you're looking for, what you want to learn.
Yeah.
And of course, he's a big advocate for those Cash Flow Clubs.
Right. Putting those lessons into practice in a fun way.
Exactly. It's like a safe space to experiment with investing, to learn from other people's experiences, and to build your confidence.
I love that. Now, I think one of the most powerful messages in the book is that financial intelligence isn't just about, you know, making a ton of money.
Right. He talks about using your financial resources to create a life of freedom and abundance.
A life where you're aligned with your values and your aspirations.
Yeah. He wants you to ask yourself, what kind of life do I truly want? And then figure out how to use your money to support that vision.
It's not about money for money's sake. It's about what that money enables you to do.
Exactly. It's a tool, not the end goal.
Speaking of goals, I know he also emphasizes the importance of getting feedback.
Oh, absolutely. He's big on that.
Yep.
Both positive and negative feedback.
Because it helps you learn and grow.
He sees it as essential for continuous improvement.
Yeah.
You know, are you on track? Are you making progress? What needs to change?
It's like having a financial coach in your corner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that feedback can come from mentors, from other people in your network.
And even from your own experiences, right? The mistakes you make along the way.
Those can be some of the best teachers if you're open to learning from them. And, you know, something else he talks about is the future of the economy.
I was just thinking about that. He paints a pretty interesting picture of what might be coming.
He does. He thinks the old rules of money are changing. Things like growing debt, global instability, new technologies. He sees those as signs that we're heading into uncharted territory.
A little bit scary, but also kind of exciting.
I think so, too. And Kiyosaki's message isn't about fear. It's about empowerment. He wants us to be prepared.
To be adaptable.
Exactly. He says, put your house in order. Not just literally, like get your finances organized, but also figuratively be ready for whatever comes next.
Build that solid foundation so you can weather any storm.
And he really emphasizes the importance of lifelong learning. Keep learning, keep growing, keep adapting to the changing world.
That's a message I can definitely get behind. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Rich Dad's Increase Your Financial IQ, what are some key things you hope our listeners will take away?
Financial intelligence is for everyone. It's not just for the wealthy elite.
It's a set of skills that anyone can learn.
And by developing those skills, you can take control of your finances, build a life of abundance, and live on your own terms.
So if you're ready to embark on that journey, grab a copy of the book, dive into those five financial intelligences, and start exploring.
It's an adventure worth taking, believe me.
Thanks for joining us on this financial deep dive. We hope you've learned something new. And remember, keep those brains engaged and keep diving deep.